was a nice looking house, that's all.
You also mentioned going to school.
Oh, yeah.
Did the road run to the east or the west of the schoolhouse?
East.
Uh-huh. And east. Where was the schoolhouse, as best you can tell us, in relation to what's there now?
Well, the Hess service station is over there now. And this side of the Hess service station is a building with several offices in it. Then one or a couple of dentists. And insurance agent, that was where the school was.
And near the post office.
That's right, just other side of the post office, which would be north of the post office.
But because the road ran differently, it was not right up on what is now College Avenue, but a bit farther away?
Well, it wasn't that far away, no. Not that far away.
So that's about where the road came back?
Yeah, that's about where it came back. Yeah, that's right.
Well, as far back as you can remember, was there an underpass over there going into California?
Yeah, as long as I can remember, it was an underpass. Smaller than it is now. You probably remember when it was smaller, too.
Oh, yes, much smaller. Yeah. One lane each way.
That's right. It was a dangerous underpass.
You felt like you were going to rub on either side as you went through.
That's right.
You must have been one of the first classes at that school.
Well, I don't know. Because I started first grade there when I was 6 years old.
So that would have been about?
Let's see, born 1912, 1918.
I think the school was opened about 1916, so you were one of the early ones.
That's right. Of course, a little kid 6 years old, he don't ask questions about that, you know.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I was the only child.
So nobody else to know where they were or what they were doing in terms of school?
No.
Do you remember any of your teachers at the school?
Well, Miss Maggie Morrison was a teacher there from my first grade on to my 11th grade, the last grade.
You mean you had her all 11 years?
Well, she
oh, she was at the school?
Yeah, she was the principal at the last. But I believe she did teach us something in the 10th or 11th grade, one subject. But she ran the school then, toward the end. She was the head of the school.
And she was a single woman?
Yeah, she was single all her life, yeah.
Daughter of one of the Clemson professors?
Well, yeah, huh? Professor Marsh. Yeah, Professor Marsh.
Do you remember any of your other teachers?
Well, one was had a German name, and her name was... She lived down North Clemson Avenue, about four or five doors down from us. And she had our class come down there, and she served cookies and hot chocolate with marshmallows in it. And that was the first time I'd ever drunk hot chocolate with marshmallows in it. I remember that. I can't think of her name. And then one of our most popular teachers was Miss Adams from Seneca. She was an awfully good teacher.
Did she live in Seneca?
Well, I don't think so. I think she rented a room here. Back at that time, see, the roads wasn't good and people didn't have cars. I don't have any idea she had a car.
Not of course, the railroad was right nearby.
Well, that wouldn't run convenient to go back and forth, no. She lived here, I feel sure, but I really don't know for certain. But I don't have any idea she went back and forth. Then there was another teacher I had, too. She was raised down in Charleston because she would tell us, now, children, we're going to write. So get out your paper and pencil. And I always remember that all of us kids, we would kind of mock her, not to her face, of course, but we'd go and get out our paper and pencil. She had that nice low country accent, but I don't remember her name.
Do you have any idea about how many kids would have been in school in your first grade class when you started?
No, as well as I thought. two classes of one of any grade. Now they got two or three classes. But at that time we didn't have.
When you graduated, how many classes were
just,
there?
We just, well, 11 was as far as they went. And so we had eight in our graduating class, four boys and four girls. A lot of them had moved away and dropped by the wayside or done something. I don't know what happened to all of them.
It's probably going to be pretty hard to think about this now, 65 years later.
Yeah.
But out of, say, your first grade class or
yeah.
the group of people you
yeah.
knew
yeah.
at the school, were they from Calhoun? Were they connected to Clemson faculty families, or where did they come from?
Both those two places.
About half and half?
Well, yes, I guess that would be a pretty good figure, half and half.
And did they mix well together?
Oh, yeah.
No
yeah.
social
no,
distinctions?
Oh, no social.
It was, I guess, more convenient for the Calhoun people because it was nearer to the town.
Yeah. They, well, now, before they built that school there, they had a little school over in Calhoun and a little school over here at the college.
Do you know where the college school was?
Yeah, it was, it's gone now, but it was out part of the cow pasture.
And where was that?
This side and across the road now from the old dairy barn. The old dairy barn is still there, but it's not used as a dairy barn now. It still looks like a dairy barn to me.
Are you talking about the barn near the president's house?
No, now that was their horse barn at the time I knew it. This one is, that street goes out to Fort Rutledge Road. Before you start down the hill, on the right is a group of buildings, and that was the dairy at that time. It's not now. And back this side was a pasture on the left side, and kind of there was a small building there, and they said that was where they went.
Well, that must have been kind of far from where they lived too.
Well, now. Well,
even
the professor's children went there. Yeah, well, some of them. Yes, that was, because most of them lived on Palmetto Boulevard. That's where most of them.
And I guess the only way for any of you to get to school
was
to
walk.
Was to
walk, yeah, that's right. The government hadn't found out then that they were supposed to ride everybody. They
and
thought everybody was supposed to take care of themselves.
What did you do about lunch? Was that served at school?
Carry a sack lunch.
Always?
No. Well, all the time that I went. They never started serving a meal. They did before I finished. They started serving hot soup. You could buy, for 10 cents, you could get hot soup at lunchtime to eat with your...
Was there any type of eating hall where you would all go for lunch, or
no? In good weather we'd eat outdoors, and in bad weather, down in the basement had a big room there. They, I don't know what they used it for, but we could go down there.
When you first started going to school, were there toilets in the school building?
No, it was outside, out what they call outhouse. I know when it would snow, everybody would hold a hand up, got to go to the toilet so they could go out and play in the snow. You know.
Well, good excuse.
That's right, yeah.
Did the school have electricity when you started going?
Yeah, they got that from the college. See, the college started electricity early. At first, the college made direct current. I don't know when they started that, but they had that ever since I could remember. But they just had it over on this side of the railroad track. Now, it didn't go across.
And what type of clothes would you, as a child, wore? Did you wear full-length pants, shorts, or what?
Well,
I bet the girls didn't wear knickers.
No, I guess they wore dresses. I didn't pay much attention. I wasn't interested.
Was there much fashion
later
competition among the kids?
Oh, none whatsoever that I know of. If they had any, I didn't know it. Even when I was in high school, I didn't.
Well, in schools now, there are a lot of social activities, particularly for high schools.
Yeah.
Did your school have parties, dances, proms, senior trips?
No, we didn't have any senior trips, but I don't remember the school having any parties or anything, but we had parties. I don't know just who sponsored them. Maybe the school did, or the parents, because there was the Episcopal Church built a parish house where they had a dance floor when I was in high school, and we'd have high school dances there every Friday night, I guess, or Saturday night or something, but every pretty often while we'd have dance there. That's about the only social activity I remember.
Well, you said there were eight in your graduating class from the 11th grade. Do you remember who the other seven were?
Oh, yeah. There was my wife was one.
And her
Lila
name was?
Lila Vanderer.
Mm-hmm.
And Cornelia Newton.
She was from Calhoun.
As
was your wife.
Yeah, She and Lila were the closest of friends when they were in school together there. Then Grace Madden, she was from Calhoun. And Athleen Munson, she was from Clemson. Her father was the commandant. And that's the four girls. And the boys were Jack Mitchell. He's Professor Mitchell's, he's from Clemson, Professor Mitchell's son. And Ziffy Moore, he was from other side of Calhoun there. His father, he lived out in the country there. His father was a farmer there, Ziffy Moore. Then there was a boy named, I can't remember his name, but he was from Clemson. He was the nephew of Coach Josh Cody. He was lived here for a couple of years and came here to go to this school and graduate from this school, because where he's from, they didn't have as good a school as they thought this one was. So he came and lived with Coach Cody, and he graduated, and I was the other. That was four.
So several connected through their family with Clemson College.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yourself and from the area around Clemson. Three, I believe you said, from Calhoun, and one from north of Calhoun.
Yeah,
so pretty well diversified, like you said before.
Just about. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and another thing about that, in the first grade, as well as I remember, the first grade, we had big seats, two into a bench, two sat together. And Jack Mitchell and I sat together in the first grade. Then when we got to the 11th grade, all the other grades, we had individual chairs. When we got to the 11th grade, they had double seats there, and Jack and I were in the same seat then.
The school has had, in some ways, a tragic life. It has burned several times.
Yeah.
Do you remember when it's the first time that it burned?
No, I don't. I know it did, but
after your
I don't
time
remember
there.
When. Oh, yeah. It, I don't remember. I don't remember the times of either. I know they did, but I don't remember exactly when.
One more question on the school, two more. What did you do about textbooks?
We bought those from the L.C. Martin drugstore. The L.C. Martin drugstore sold them.
And do you have any particular memories of your school years that you'd like to tell us about?
No memories. I just enjoyed every year.
Well, let's see if there was some romance going in high school. You said that your wife-to-be was in your class.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Were you dating in high school?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Did either of you date other people?
Some.
And how long after you finished high school before you got married?
Oh, a long time. We didn't get married until 1940.
Oh, good long while.
Yeah, a long time. See, I had, I thought I was supposed to get a job and make some money before I ask anybody to marry.
Mm-hmm.
So I waited till I was making something. And that took a long time.
You were lucky she was still available.
Yeah.
She must have considered you worth waiting for.
Maybe so.
Did you go together all those years?
Yeah, we went together off and on all those years. She took training, nurses training over in Spartanburg General Hospital, and then she worked over there as a laboratory technician. And I went back and forth and visited over there.
Where did she live when she was in Spartanburg?
Oh, she had a room in some house close to the hospital.
Was it a boarding house?
Well, not exactly a boarding house. The family did rent rooms to the nurses. She had a roommate, a nurse was a roommate, and there may have been four of them there. I don't remember that. I was never in the house.
And I bet between the owners of the house and the other roommates, you were well chaperoned.
Yeah, well, I just went over on a Sunday, and we'd go to church and then eat dinner, and then I'd come on back home.
Let's talk a little bit more about your wife. You said her name was Lila Vandiver.
Uh-huh, Lila Vandiver.
And she was from Calhoun.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Can you tell us anything about her wife, her family, where she came from?
Well, she was born in Georgia. Her father was a railroad man, and they moved over here and bought a house down that street. Is that called Calhoun Street?
Calhoun Street, yes.
Yeah, down there, not too far from your mother. Where Ina lived, and they lived there while I was growing up. She had a brother and a sister, and then her mother died when she was 10 years old, and her father remarried, and she has a half sister that lives here.
What else can you tell us about how Calhoun looked? You mentioned two stores.
Yeah.
Give us a general tour of the town, if you will.
Well, when I was a kid, there was a Boggs' store, that store that's Calhoun Corner now. And then up that street, toward the Smith House, there was the brick building there that your grandfather, Mr. Smith, had a store in. And then you come up there to that street, your grandmother's big house on the left, and that, when I was a little, real little kid, that old house, small old house where my father rented from your grandmother, mm-hmm. and lived there. Then on down there was a house that Mrs. Dillard lived in, Mr. and Mrs. Dillard. And right across then there was Cochran Road went between the Dillard house and the Vandiver house. And then further on, the house beyond the Vandiver house was a house where Mrs. Prince lived, the famous lady who was the housekeeper for Clemson and Calhoun. In her old age, she had a house over there.
And was hers the last house going down that way to the east?
At that time, that was like, beyond her house was a little small house where a servant lived.
Mm-hmm.
Then coming back across the street from the Vandiver house was a house there that Mr. Hendricks was this side. Hendricks lived in the house this side. Rudolph Hendricks. But now before Rudolph Hendricks lived there, the Boggs lived there. Herman Boggs, the boy I played with, his family lived there.
And Herman was the father of Norman Boggs, who later ran the store.
Herman's father ran the store.
Mm-hmm.
Norman Boggs was Norman Boggs was one of the descendants of Mr. Aaron Boggs. But then the Hendricks lived there, and then the Hendricks brother lived there, and then it'd be like the Links lived there. On out, there was a kind of diagonally across from the Smith house was a house there where belonged to Boggs.
Mm-hmm.
He Boggs, there's a lot of Boggs over there, and Boggs had owned most all that land. And then they crossed the street from Boggs' store was a big house, part wood and part concrete block. And that was where the Paynes lived.
Mm-hmm. That house is still there.
Yeah, it's still there. Miss Eva Payne and Miss Gracia Payne and their mother. And she was a daughter, I think, of Aaron Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Then further west, on that Calhoun Street, going out there, Mr. Dick Pike had a house out there. And across the street from there was a nice house where the assistant postmaster lived for many years.
The Chapmans?
The Chapmans was further, a little further out, the next house out, the Chapmans lived. King, Mr. King lived in that house in the corner. Retired chemist lives there now. I did last time you.
Was Mr. King assistant postmaster at the Calhoun
no.
or at the Clemson College?
Miss Chapman was the postmistress over here at Calhoun.
So the people of the two different post offices lived side by side? Or close to each other? That was ironic.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Now, that's right. I never had thought about that.
Anybody else live on down that way?
Yeah, a little further down was the family of the Finleys. Finleys lived further down. And then further on down, but it's on the street that was parallel to it, but next to the railroad track was a big house there, and Dawes lived there.
Now, where was that?
It's near
the underpass?
No, way on down, a mile from the underpass.
Almost to the river?
This side of the river. I guess a quarter of a mile this side of the river, yeah. Yeah, there was a house there. I think it burned, and then they built another one, and I don't know what's that now. But that was Dawr, and they said Dawr was the man who built, or had built, that Boggs' store. When I knew Mr. Dawr, he was a station agent at the depot.
How long was he there? Do you have any idea?
Oh, I don't know how long he was there. No, I didn't know him. I just knew of him. I think I saw him a time or two, maybe. But I think he looked pretty old then, as well as I remember. Of course, to a little kid, a grown man looked old.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know him, but I just knew of him.
Anybody else lived down that way?
No. Well, way on down at the river, there was a house that would get flooded out when the river would flood every few years. A fellow named John Long, he and his family, he had a big family. And John Long lived down there.
It sounds like almost a small village from the number of people you're describing.
Yes, there were a good many people there, yeah.
So sounds also as if you and Lila were destined to get together since you were only two doors apart when you were growing up.
Yeah, well, I didn't know her then. Because see,
it was before she lived there.
I don't believe she lived there then. I think she told me her father was going to move from where they lived in Georgia, and he was either going to, she said he was thinking about living in Cornelia, Georgia, or here. And he decided on this because they told him they had a real good school here. Mm-hmm. So I think she just moved here about the time that my father built his house over there, and we moved over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know her until we were in the second, third, fourth, fifth grade, something like that. But I thought she was a pretty little girl. I liked her.
And I saw a photograph of her at the store, and she certainly was. Let's go back one more time. We were talking about coming from Clemson along the older, more winding road
mm-hmm.
over toward Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
After you passed the Presbyterian Church,
yeah.
Would you hit anything else before you got to the schoolhouse?
No, wasn't any buildings.
So that was not quite, but close to a half mile with nothing in there.
Yeah, well, it was a pasture. It was a pasture on the, as you go down, on the west side. Well, it was pasture. And some people that had cows around here put the cows in there. Get water down at that creek, see.
Who owned the pasture?
I think that was Mr. Pope. At that time, it was probably already Pope Land Company, I guess. I don't really know, but I know the Sloans had control of it. But they got Mr. John Martin to look after it for them. After the pasture. They had two entrances. One entrance was over there between the school and the railroad track. Wasn't any 123 wasn't there then. And they had an entrance there where all the people over that Calhoun take their cows and put it in there. And then they had one up here back of the Baptist Church where Mr. Martin lived, where the people that had cows here could take them down there and put them in the pasture.
And that was the same Martin who had the general merchandise store.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Same Mr. John Martin, yeah.
And he lived real close to the Baptist Church.
Yeah, yeah. Right across the street. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you have any idea whether the people who pastured their animals there had to pay or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had to pay. That's why they had Mr. Martin to look after it. Yeah, they had to pay something. I don't know how much.
But speaking of animals, was it typical for people at either Calhoun or Clemson to keep animals?
Yeah, chickens and cows. I don't think anybody ever had pigs.
Horses?
I never saw any horses. No, so far as I know, nobody here had a horse.
What about gardens? Did people grow and raise their own crops for the summer?
Yeah, everybody had a good garden, yeah. Yeah, we had a good garden, and everybody had a good garden, so far as I know.
What types of things did you raise in your garden?
Oh, beans and tomatoes and corn and squash, things like that, yeah.
So a lot of good things to eat on your lawn.
Oh, yeah, and we had chickens where I lived. We had a cow. We never did put our cow in that pasture. My father always just kept the cow there and had a nice stall for him in a little barn and a little small yard where the cow could move around, and he just fed the cow there.
Was yours as big as an acre lot, or do you know?
I guess it was about an acre. Yeah, it's a pretty good sized lot.
Just about have to be to provide enough pasturage for a cow. And
well, he didn't ever have a pasture.
Grazing
yeah,
area.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about things you might or might not have had in the house when you moved there.
Yeah.
You said the school had. Did the house have electricity?
Yeah, uh-huh. Everything on this side of the railroad track got electricity from the college and got water from the college.
And did you have indoor plumbing?
Huh? Indoor plumbing, yeah,
in your
over
house.
Here. Yeah, mm-hmm. over there didn't have it. and they had it in that street that where those professors bought that land and cut streets down there. They also cut sewer lines and water lines.
They really did, as you said, provide services.
Oh, yes, uh-huh, that was, yeah.
What about a telephone? Did you have one back
then? No, didn't have a telephone, no.
Do you remember when your family got a phone?
My father and mother put a phone in their house pretty late. I don't know, my mother wanted one in case she wanted to call the doctor. I don't believe they had it in there before the Second World War, I don't think.
And what about at the store?
No, my father never had one there. I never had one there, but when my son took it over in 1977, first thing he did, put in a phone.
So the killers waited a while to convert to the phone age.
I didn't want a phone. I